Warning, a recorded siren will be heard during the episode.
The open threat to destroy us. Trailer commanders achieve the great run.
Over the past 3 months, Israel has been at war with Hamas. Sirens alerting of rocket fire have sounded throughout Israel every single day. For a person who's never heard before, a rocket siren might sound a little distressing and loud. It can catch you anywhere. Walking down the street, eating in a restaurant, at the gym, at the beach. Though people in Israel have gotten used to the sirens and they know the steps they must take to be safe, they still can be caught by surprise. I'm Staff Sergeant Nikki. I'll be the host of today's mission brief, and I'd like to introduce you to one of the people behind Israel's advanced warning systems, head of the warning methods and technology branch in the Homefront Command, Lieutenant Colonel Itai.
Hey, Nikki. First of all...
אני מקווה שזה מצולם.
שלום.
אתה עדיין מצלם, ישי?
וטוב, הצלתם אותי.
We needed to stop the podcast because there's actual rocket sirens right now. Every day we're hearing the rocket sirens, so it's not really catching us by surprise. So this is a safe shelter, that's why people are walking in. And we're going to be waiting here until it's safe to go out again. Over the past 3 months, Israel has been at war with Hamas. Sirens alerting of rocket fire have sounded throughout Israel every single day. Just now we started recording and I was asking you how a rocket siren sounds, and we had a rocket siren right here and everybody came in because this is a safe place to be in. It's crazy that this is our reality these days, but we kind of got used to it. You know, throughout, people in Israel have gotten used to the sirens and they know the steps they need to take to stay safe, but they can still be caught by surprise. We were just here and caught by surprise.
Yeah, so hey, Nikki. First of all, thanks for having me here on this podcast. I think it's very important for people to understand what is the early warning here in Israel. We can say that we are used to it, you know, over the past 60 years or 80 years even. But people from Israel or outside of Israel need to know what is early warning or what are the early warning methods here in Israel. And I'm glad to be able to explain it.
Thank you for being here. We're such a small country, and in this war, it feels like everyone was affected by sirens and by the danger and the threat that's posed on us. It's such a strange thing to say, used to it, to think that we live in a time where people are so used to rockets being fired on their home by our enemies, whether it's Hamas in Gaza or Hezbollah in the north. The IDF's enemies keep finding new ways of putting our civilians under constant threat. How much are these systems and sirens affecting the population in Israel?
The civilian needs to protect themselves and to act according to the guidelines of the Homefront Command. They need to go to the shelter or the safe room and protect themselves. From the beginning of the war, we disseminated more than 15,000 alerts in Israel and in more than 1,200 towns. Wow. In Israel.
Wow, that's such a high number, and we're still continuing our lives.
I think warning systems and our warning methods are something everyone should be aware, whether they live in Israel, whether or not.
I think something that a lot of people aren't aware of is that rockets are not the only aerial threat to civilians living along Israel's border. Could you maybe expand on other threats that you have encountered?
Yeah, our warning systems can alert the civilians in multiple threats. It can be missiles attack, it can be drones or UAVs. It can be also terrorist attack, like we had on the 7th of October in the south. Also, hazardous materials event, tsunami, earthquake. So almost every threat that the civilian can be affected from, our warning system can alert him.
And the warning system is only through sirens, or is there other technological ways?
No, we have multiple platforms. We have the sirens that are working both with siren, but also public announcement. And we have our Homefront Command cellular app. We have the national portal, the Homefront Command website, also give the early warning to the civilians. And we have other methods like the TV, radio stations, both national and regional stations. So we can provide the early warnings to everyone at any time, any place.
It sounds that for us, it's quite easy to reach those announcements. But I'm wondering, what do you do with people that have accessibility issues? If it could be people that cannot see or cannot hear the sirens, maybe children that don't know how to act, is there something also accessible for them?
Yeah, our main mission or our vision in the Homefront Command to provide early warning to everyone at any time and any place. So when I'm saying everyone, it's also people with accessibility issues, because we have a different and very unique vibration. It's a 50 seconds vibration. So you know that it's an early warning and not SMS or message or notification. Also on our website, on the Homefront Common website, we have accessibility options. So it will be in different color and different sound. So everyone can get the early warning both on the website and also the Homefront Common app. We need to say that we will have also a flashlight strobing. So if you can't hear, you're a deaf, you can see the flashlight. You also will feel the vibration.
Oh, that sounds really technological and advanced, and it's really important that everybody gets these sirens and these messages. What could happen to people if they don't listen to the instructions or if they're not aware of what they need to do?
With your permission, if it will take us back to the 7th of October, the first thing that everyone heard and got is the early warning. And we can see that on this day, we had thousands of rockets that were shooted from the Gaza Strip toward Israel. And with the early warning systems, we did save a lot of life. We still had casualties, but we know that when someone hears the siren or get the early warning in his app or other platforms, and he acts according to our guidelines, the Homefront Command guidelines, he will save himself.
And tell me if I'm wrong, but it's not only to keep yourself safe from a rocket hitting your house. It can also be shrapnel. It could be walking on the street and a part of the rocket can fall next to you if you don't listen to the guidelines. That's also very dangerous. So does the system also protect you from that?
Exactly. Our system is providing early warning to, like I said, many threats. One of them are shreds, because when we're intercepting a missile in the air, we have a lot of shreds from this interception. So we need to provide early warning to two places. The first one is where the missile could hit. So we need to early warning or to disseminate early warning to this place, and also to the place underneath the interception pond. Like when we are talking about the Iron Dome, when the Iron Dome missile hits the rocket, you have a lot of shreds. So we need to protect the civilian from those shreds. We know that sometimes it even takes 7 minutes to all of them hit the ground. So we are always saying the civilians, when you hear the siren, you will go to the shelter or the safe room, protect yourself, and wait for 10 minutes so you won't hear from them.
And unfortunately, I think that not everyone in the world knows this, but there are times where there's multiple rockets, one after the other, that cause people to need to stay in the shelters for much, much longer, because there's the 10 minutes and then there's another rocket and then they need to stay more and more time. But it's very important to know that ahead of time and to know how much time you need to stay. Something that crossed my mind during your explanations was how you make these alerts accessible for children. Because we talked about the websites and the mobile phone systems and the sirens, but the question is how we prepare children to encounter these sirens.
Yeah, first of all, we have in the Homefront Command, we have the population department. And they have branches and soldiers that are teaching inside schools. We have lesson programs, and also we have a media contact that is supposed to bring the guidelines to children in their language, so it will be more accessible for them. It's really a profession here in the Homefront Command, how to teach everyone here in Israel, no whether you are child, infant, child, kid, teenager, or adult, how you need to protect yourself and act according to the guidelines.
Yeah, I mean, there are times also when children are not always with their parents. They could just be walking to school or walking back home, and then a siren just catches them on the way. So it's really important to know what to do, even if you're without an adult.
Exactly. They need to know what they need to do when they're hearing sirens. Or it's not even a siren, an early warning. It can be a siren, it can be a public announcement for an earthquake. They need to know exactly what to do. And also, we are using a method that we are teaching the children how to build a family plan. So they are also our ambassadors to their parents. Hmm. So it works even that way.
That's interesting. Yeah, I was in a... There was a siren about a few weeks ago, and I was in the shelter with my neighbors, And one of my neighbors, her two young girls were outside with friends. And I saw how scared she was for them, because she was scared that they maybe didn't find a shelter or didn't know what to do. And I think that giving these children the option to be in control of the situation and know where to go and not get stressed, it's also good for the children and also for the parents, knowing that they can send their children out and not be scared of their lives.
Exactly. And also, because of that, we know that every siren or every early warning really stop our life routine. It causes psychological damage also, and you can be very distressed from it. On those past years, we developed the selective principle. So we are only giving the early warning to the place that is under a threat. Because if we are looking back to our history, back in 91, it was the first Iraq war and Gulf war, all of Israel was one area. Even in a southern city in Israel, people went to the safe room. So everyone can be scared, and it hurts the GDP and psychological influence also. So throughout the years, we managed with very sophisticated technology to divide the state of Israel to different kind of polygons of a predefined zone. So we had one in back in 91 till 2016, we had 254 areas. This was the maximum capabilities of our old and legacy systems. But in 2019, we upgraded almost all of our systems and defined 1,700 predefined zone here in Israel.
Wow.
So almost every city, every town has its own unique predefined zone. And even in the largest cities, we divided them to several zones, like Tel Aviv is four different zones. The same is Haifa and Jerusalem is divided to different zones inside the city. So we are providing a very, very selective and focused early warning to these zones. And the latest develop was in 2021 that we also providing early warning with a resolution of 1 kilometer square. So everyone with the Homefront Command app can get the early warning only to the selected zone, only to the threatened zone, even if it's in an open area, in roads or everything. So when you talked about the children, yeah, we're teaching them how to act according to our guidelines. We're providing them the tools to deal with the early warning or with the threats. But we are also trying to minimize the early warnings in Israel only to the selected zone and the threatened zone to minimize the influence on the children or on everyone here in Israel.
Yeah, that's the only way we can keep on living, because if not, then we would just need to live in the shelters all day.
Exactly.
We've spoken a lot about what civilians do when sirens are sounding, but I think a lot of our listeners would be curious to know what happens behind the scenes. Could you give us a little bit on that?
Yeah, we speak both on the human part and the technological part. So behind every system, there is good soldiers, there is good persons, because you need the human intervention. You need a headquarters that gets all the threats automatically from other systems. And then you can disseminate the early warning. You can disseminate early warning automatically. You can disseminate early warning manually. You can define it before, or you can decide on real times. So there are commanders there and also soldiers that this is all what they do. They're sitting there 24/7, 365 days a year and waiting for the threats. And you can see on the 7th of October, they did an excellent job. It was on surprise and they went from 0 to 100 in seconds and disseminate early warning to every city or place in Israel that was under a threat. So behind the technology, there are very good soldiers and commanding officers to maintain the ability to provide an early warning to the civilians. And also we have the persons that go to each one of those almost 4,000 sirens in Israel and check for their availability and fix them if they need. And also maintain all of our system. It's a very sophisticated system. It's system of systems. It's many systems, many platforms, and there are people that this is what they do 24/7, 365 days a year to keep our systems in availability. We call it the five nines. It's 99.999% of time it needs to be availability.
There were reports on the 7th of October that Hamas terrorists were trying to dismantle the system of the sirens. How did you deal with that?
We have sirens almost in, not almost, in every city in Israel, also on those places that was under the Hamas attack. So we had sirens that was hit by firearms or grenade, even from fire. So we had to go and fix them even under fire. We have here persons that went to Kfar Aza and Kisufim under fire to fix the sirens, because we know that every siren means saving life.
Wow.
Yeah, so during the first week, we fixed more than 100 sirens. And also during those 3 months, we installed new sirens on those areas and other areas in Israel to provide early warning to the civilians.
This all sounds very difficult and takes a lot of focus from you to do these things and to sit in the control room and be focused on the moment that you need to give early warning or have a siren going off. How do you do that when there's so much heavy fire? How do you not get stressed about it and stay focused?
I will divide it to two things. The first one, it's the headquarters where all the sirens are operated from there. They are very good under fire. They're chill. They know how to react. They train to it. They're training all the year, and they manage to do it amazing. This is the Home Front Command J3. Our part on the technical side, we have the right people in the right place. They know how to react according to every kind of problem that we can get during this emergency, during this war. From protecting ourselves from cyber attacks, from IT problems. Even when we are talking about the Home Front Command app, we have 2.7 million active users now. It's the most downloadable app in Israel during the war. And we needed to see that under this capacity, it's still working. So they are doing it. People from the Home Front Command and also the Cyber Directorate. And also we can see that all of our systems are built that we have backup on top of a backup on top of a backup. So you have the time to react not under stress, but to see and to give yourself enough time to fix the system the right way.
So since the beginning of the war and long before it, the branch has worked tirelessly to create a variety of methods to alert civilians of danger in real time. Regardless of who you are, we prioritize your safety here in Israel. All of these efforts were made in response of years of living under threat of Hamas, which had fired rockets on Israeli civilians in their homes over the years, putting civilians under constant threat. I think it's so important to have these measures to still have life going on, still let the civilians live their lives and not live in the bomb shelters. And I really thank you for joining our podcast. It was very, very interesting. So thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Itai.
Thank you, Nick.